Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome back to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Well, today we'll go globetrotting with Steve Mitchell on Dangerous Assignment, and he's assigned to look into the matter of the Nazi fugitive. Sounds like fun. That's from 1951. After that, an episode of Bright Star and Mrs. America Visits from 1952. Sit back and enjoy some great old-time radio here on the Weekly Download.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though. Trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize this assignment's going to end up just where it started, which is right in the middle of nowhere.
Morning, Commissioner.
Steve?
Well, where am I going this time?
Dakar, West Africa. Steve, I want you to think back about 5 years to the fall of Berlin.
Fall of Berlin? What's that got to do with... Now, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Commissioner, I'm a pretty patient guy. You send me out on a lot of wild goose chases, and I never say a word. But if you think I'm going to go looking for that guy again...
Did I mention any names,
you
Steve?
You don't have to. Look, from the best available evidence, when that chancellery in Berlin was burned, the top dog died. 3 times in the last 5 years, you've had me running around the world investigating rumors that he was still alive. I've never been able to prove a thing.
That's exactly right, Steve. We've never been able to prove a thing, one way or the other.
Oh, look, Commissioner.
You look, Steve. We all know that an elaborate escape plan had been worked out for him, that the key figure in that escape plan was a U-boat commander named Captain Schiller.
Sure, we all know that, but so what? Captain Schiller died in the Berlin Blitz, too.
Correction, Steve. A clerk attached to the Chancellery staff identified one of the burned bodies as that of Captain Schiller.
Just a minute. Are you trying to tell me that...
I'm trying to tell you that an ex-U.S. Navy commander named Williamson, who's in the importing business in Dakar, saw Captain Schiller there 2 days ago.
What? Oh, he must have been mistaken.
He might have been, and then again, he might not have been. That's up to you to find out. Get over to Dakar, Steve. Talk to Williamson. Then go anywhere and do anything you have to get to the bottom of this. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
The National Broadcasting Company is presenting Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell, colorful two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment.
Sure, I've got my assignment. Just a simple little matter of flying to West Africa to investigate a rumor that's been floating around the world for the last 5 years. A rumor nobody's ever been able to prove or disprove. I get all the cinches. It's Monday when my plane lands in Dakar, and I head for the West African Exporting Company in Williamson.
I guess you probably figure I've been seeing things lately, don't you, Mitchell?
Well, at this point, yes.
Well, I'm positive the man I saw here in Dakar the night before last was Captain Schiller, and he was very much alive.
Where did you see him, Williamson?
Coming out of the Michelin. That's a little bar near the waterfront.
Look, I still don't understand how come you were able to make such a positive identification.
I knew Schiller. We met during the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. He was a super stinker, the kind that makes quite an impression on you. So that's why I remembered his face so well.
I see. Well, okay, I'm going to phone the commissioner and ask him to check up on the German clerk who identified Captain Schiller as being dead. Then I want you to show me this bar where you spotted him. Brother, in this dive you could use an oxygen mask. You see him anywhere, Williamson?
No.
Let's talk to the bartender.
Okay.
Oui, monsieur.
Did you ever see the man in this picture before, bartender?
Let me see it. But of course, monsieur.
You happen to know his name?
Oui, Captain Strom.
Strom?
He commands a small freighter. He comes to the car 2 or 3 times a year. Always he spends much money.
I see. How long has he been in town this trip?
For several days, monsieur. Even now, his freighter is loading, ready to depart.
Okay, thanks. Come on, Williamson. Let's mosey down to the waterfront and take a look, huh? Crates out of that warehouse.
Hey, look, up on deck.
Yeah, Captain Schiller. Keep back in the shadows.
Right.
You know, I'd like to find out what's in those crates. Wait, that looks like a side door to the warehouse just ahead of us. Let's try for it, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody spot us?
I don't think so.
Inside, quick.
I can hear.
Great, a guard. Quick, get behind those crates.
Okay. Can you spot him, Mitchell?
I can see his flashlight. He's heading this way.
Yeah, he's done.
Probably got a gun, too.
Yeah, look. When he gets closer, I'll jump him.
Ludwig.
No.
That was quick.
Yeah, he's got to work fast. It's only a question of minutes before they'll miss him.
Yeah, look. There's a crowbar over there.
Yeah. One crate's better than any other, I guess. I'll try this one. Guard moving any?
No. Well, he's keeping the lantern now.
Good. Okay. Hand me his flashlight, will you?
Now, here you are. Nothing but a bunch of paintings. What kind of a cargo is that? Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. I'm no art student, but I recognize a few of these. They're masterpieces.
Hey, Mitchell. Hey, this could be some of the stuff the Nazis looted from Europe.
Bible get you 10, it is. So they had it hidden here in Dakar all the time. And Schiller has been delivering it little by little to the head art collector himself.
Well, you've got enough evidence to grab Schiller.
Look, that's the last thing in the world I want to do right now. I'm a lot more interested in finding out just whom he's delivering this stuff to and where. You better get back to town. I'll check with you later. Williamson leaves and I start for the freighter, but just as I get up to it, a figure starts down the gangway. Captain Schiller. I duck back into the shadows. He steps onto the pier and starts in my direction. I flatten myself against the wall of the warehouse. He keeps coming. Then, when he's about 10 feet away... Schiller grabs at his stomach and crumples onto the pier. The shots came from my left, and I can hear someone running along the pier. I take off after him, but my foot hits a cleat, and I go sprawling. By the time I get to my feet, it's too late. The killer's disappeared. Suddenly, I hear a chain rattle. The freighter. They're hauling in the gangplank and getting underway. This is just great. I've got to find out where that freighter's heading for, but how? Then I remember the unconscious guard in the warehouse. I head for the door, but just as I get there, it opens and out he comes. Hey, remember me? Hey, where's that freighter going?
Get away from me.
Okay. Suppose you try that wall on for size. Come on, open up. Where's that freighter heading?
I will not tell you.
Okay, take another bounce. Open up.
No.
Okay, I can keep this up all night.
Stop.
Let's have it.
The ship is sailing for Casano.
Casano, where's that?
Small port on South American coast.
Okay.
Now I will...
Oh, another gun, huh?
Yeah, another gun.
Guard slowly sags to the pier. Trying to plug me, he'd done likewise to himself, so now at least he won't be able to get word to that freighter that I know where it's heading. I put in a call to the local police. They come and haul the two bodies away. And an hour later, I'm standing in the morgue with a gent named Inspector Bove viewing the remains of the late Captain Schiller.
So all this time, the world has believed this man perished in a bomb shelter under the German Chancellery in Berlin 5 years ago. Any rate, he's dead now. And we have seen all we can see here in the morgue. I will slide the drawer shut.
There. 1 moment, please.
Huh?
Looks like we've got a visitor, Bove.
I would like to view the body, if I may.
I did not hear you come in, mademoiselle.
I did not wish to disturb you, gentlemen.
You are perhaps aware that the morgue is not on the list of sites for tourists to visit here in Dakar. One must have credentials.
Here are mine.
Lisa Hessler.
Yeah?
Trans-European News Agency.
You are a correspondent?
As you see.
Look, Bovey, maybe we'd all better go back to your office and talk this thing over.
I'm sorry, but I have a right to see the body.
Since when is the murder of a freighter skipper named Captain Strom news?
Please be kind enough to step aside.
But...
Inspector, do you wish to be put on record as having refused an accredited newspaper correspondent the right to view a body and some more?
I am sorry, Monsieur Mitchell, but she is within her rights.
Okay. Take a look, lady.
Thank you. Are you quite certain, gentlemen?
Certain of what?
Certain that this dead man is Captain Schiller.
What?
According to his papers, this guy's name is Strom.
Yeah, I know. But I'm inclined to think, as you also apparently are, that this man is Schiller.
Oh? Mind telling us why you're interested in him?
I've made a career of him.
What do you mean?
For 5 years, I've been trying to track him down. You see, I've always been convinced that Schiller did not die in that burning bomb shelter under the Chancery in Berlin. I felt if I could find him alive, he might lead me to someone else who might not have died in that fire.
Sounds like you're dealing in a lot of mites, Lisa.
Perhaps. And yet those mites, as you call them, might lead me to the biggest news story of the century.
Well, what does your editor think about all this?
Now, unfortunately, he thinks I'm slightly crazy. Threatens to fire me unless I give up this idea and return to Europe.
I see. Well, you gotta admit, the idea is pretty fantastic.
Is it, Mr. Mitchell?
Look, figure it this way. Even if this guy is Captain Schiller, he's dead. You can't get any information or leads out of him. Where does that leave you?
Unfortunately, at the end of the line. My editor would not even print a story about this unless I could find something further.
That's what I mean.
5 years of chasing a shadow. Now it ends on the slab of a morgue in Descartes. Well, that is life, I suppose. Good evening, gentlemen.
Mademoiselle.
So long, Lisa.
One cannot help feeling sorry for 5 years' work on one story and then...
Look, save your sympathy, Beauvais. I've got to keep her thinking that this is the end of the line for her. If she got one inkling, it wasn't. And if a single whisper of it ever hit the newspapers, this whole deal would go up in smoke.
I see.
Well, Inspector, thanks for everything. Looks like my next stop is South America. So the next morning I get aboard the plane. I sit there as we take off, patting myself on the back for getting Lisa Hessler off the trail. Then I start getting an uneasy feeling right between the shoulder blades. I look up, and there, standing in the aisle beside me, is the reason for my jitters.
Good morning, Mr. Mitchell.
Lisa Hessler.
So, we are both flying to South America. What a coincidence.
Yeah. You decide to take a vacation, maybe?
Yeah, you might call it a vacation. See, I happened to hear last night of a little port in South America called Cusano.
That doesn't sound like much of a spot for a vacation.
I also happened to hear that the freighter commanded by Captain Schiller, or Captain Strom, if you prefer, is owned by the Mühlendorfer Freight Lines, whose home port is Cusano. So, I thought this would be a perfect spot for a vacation.
Oh, great. Looks like you've got a few sources of information I hadn't counted on.
Yeah, I have, Steve.
Look, I just don't want any publicity on this thing until it's over one way or another, Lisa.
Then you must realize we are on opposite sides of the fence, Steve. You would like to keep the search a secret. I intend to write this story for millions of readers all over the world.
I see. Okay, Lisa. You're asking for trouble.
It is to be a duel between us, then.
I'm afraid the cards are stacked against you.
Are they? I warn you, Steve, do not underestimate me. It would be the biggest mistake of your life. As a matter of fact, it might even be fatal.
You are listening to Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Well, this is just great. Here I am on a super-secret mission. I know that one peep out of anybody and I'm cooked. Now I'm up against a girl who's all out to spread it in every newspaper in the world. Our plane lands in South America, and it's another day by train to Cusano, and at the depot, Lisa disappears, probably trying to find the offices of the Mühlendorfer Freight Line, so I slip a cab driver 5 pesos and get there ahead of her. Inside, there's a sleepy-looking clerk idly swatting at cockroaches with a newspaper. Nice shot.
Gracias, senor. I seldom miss.
Well, you probably get a lot of practice. I see quite a few targets running around.
One less. What is it you want, senor?
Well, I'd like a little information about your shipping line.
Information? What is there to tell about it?
That's what I want to find out. You see, I've got quite a little freight I want to ship, and...
Oh, I'm afraid our line is not for you, senor.
Oh? What do you mean?
Well, we operate but one ship, and that one is under contract to an importing company. Ay, senor, there is a big one crawling along the counter. If you'll step out of the way.
Sure. That's the ship that Captain Strom commands?
Yes.
You missed.
You are crowding me, senor.
Sorry. When will the ship be in?
Quien sabe, who knows? I'm sorry, I cannot help you, senor.
I see. Okay. Well, keep them flying, Buster.
But cockroaches do not fly, senor.
Oh, Steve.
Well, hello, Lisa.
So, you beat me here.
Yeah, but it didn't do me much good. Clerk seems to be specializing in knowing nothing about anything.
Well, since you have told me what you found out, I tell you what I found out. I've been at the waterfront and learned the ship is expected the morning after tomorrow.
Oh? Say, you're being pretty obliging all of a sudden, aren't you, Lisa?
Well, let us just say I would like to beat you in a fair fight, Steve.
Okay, let's just say that. In that case, I'll probably see you down at the docks the morning after tomorrow.
You may count on it, Steve.
So, 2 mornings later, I'm down on the dock. Lisa's there, but the freighter isn't. We wait a couple of hours, and then we gradually get the idea that there must have been a tip-off. The freighter must have docked at another port. We dash back to the freight line office, but the joint is locked up tight. So, there we are again, fresh out of Leeds. Lisa gets that end-of-the-line look again and leaves, and I head for a bar across the street.
Ships which do not arrive when they should, this can be quite annoying.
Huh? Who are you?
Lieutenant Segura of the military. May I sit at your table?
Why, yeah.
You are Senior Mitchell, no?
I'm Senior Mitchell, yes. How'd you know?
Your commissioner traced you here from Dakar. He spoke to me over the telephone. He would like for you to telephone him.
Oh, yeah, I suppose he would like a report, but... At this point, all I can report is that I've been on a wild goose chase and I'm beat. Hey, wait a minute. You mentioned something about ships not arriving.
You see, senor, I also was very anxious that the freighter should arrive. You see, Senor Mitchell, I do not believe this is such a wild goose chase as you think.
What do you mean?
For some time, I have been convinced that my country unknowingly entertains some unwelcome guest.
Oh? What have you got in the way of facts to back up that theory, Lieutenant?
Unfortunately, merely fragments of gossip from a few peasants.
Yeah, that's what I thought. This whole deal seems to be fragments of gossip.
I have in mind a particular plantation several kilometers inland from here.
What about it?
There is a high wall around the villa with barbed wire. It is rumored that the captain of the freighter stays there when his ship is in town.
Oh? Well, the captain won't be staying there anymore, Segura. He got knocked off in Dakar.
Oh, I see. As you probably realize, I would like very much to get inside that villa. But this I cannot do officially without some evidence of law violation.
Yeah.
But there has been no law violation. So it appears I can do nothing officially. However, if someone else wished to try to do something unofficially, I might be able to... As you say, lend a hand.
Oh?
I am quite tired, Mitchell.
Tired?
Yes. I have some leave coming to me. It occurred to me I could take that leave at almost a moment's notice.
I get it. Okay, Lieutenant, thanks. I may call on you later.
Wait a minute, Commissioner. I can hardly hear you. Jiggle a phone or something, will you?
Is that better?
Yeah. What's on your mind?
I said I'm glad you telephoned, Steve. I've been trying to get in touch with you.
Oh, what's the matter?
When you called me from Dakar, you wanted the name of the clerk who claimed Captain Schiller died during the fall of Berlin?
That's right. The one who identified a burned body as that of Captain Schiller. The clerk lied, Commissioner, and I figured you might have one of our agents in Europe run him down and question him.
We can't find the clerk anywhere, Steve. But it's a her, not a him.
Oh?
Name's Lisa Nesvik. She married a Nazi colonel who was killed in Stalingrad. After the war, she dropped out of sight.
Lisa Nesvik? Hey, wait a minute. Her maiden name wouldn't by any chance be Lisa Hessler, would it?
Why, Yes, Steve. How did you know?
Ah, skip it. I'll call you later.
So, Lisa Hessler, girl reporter, is actually the one who lied about Schiller's death 5 years ago. I head for her hotel in a hurry and get there just in time to see her leave by a side door. She gets into a car and drives out of town. I follow. Half an hour later, she pulls off the road and leaves her car. Then I spot the villa. It's got a big iron gate and a high wall and a high voltage wire running along the top of it. And I know this is the villa that Lieutenant Segarra was telling me about. Lisa sneaks up to the place and looks it over from behind a clump of bushes. And this I don't get at all. If she's one of the outfit, I should think they'd welcome her with a velvet carpet and a brass band. But she's acting like she wouldn't be welcome at all. Finally, she leaves, and I'm about to follow suit. When the gate opens, and a bunch of peons trudge out and start working in the fields, all except one, who throws a couple of quick looks around and then sneaks off. He could be worth following, so I do. He heads straight for a village down the road and disappears into a bar. Great. He's just sneaking away from work to get a snootful. Then it dawns on me. Okay, let him get a snootful. It sometimes has a habit of loosening tongues. I sit down across the street and wait. An hour later, out he staggers. He sits down in the dirt by the doorway and starts singing. At least I suppose he called it that. Hi.
Hello.
You must be happy.
Happy? Who's happy? I'm sad.
Ma'am, you've got a voice to match. What's the trouble? Hey, look, Caruso, save the audition, will you? South Pacific's already been cast.
No one likes me to sing. It's a sad world. All the time work, no time to sing.
You work out at the plantation?
You see.
Who owns it?
Kinsale. We never go near the villa.
Oh, you've been ordered to stay away, maybe?
See. No one likes me.
Did you ever see any of the people who live in the villa?
See, three men. One of them dressed like a sailor. But he don't come there for a long time.
That'd be Schiller. Who else?
A tall man. And one not so tall.
Yeah? What does this not so tall man look like?
I don't know. I only see him from a distance. I think maybe he's a little bit crazy.
Huh?
He stands on a balcony and he makes speeches to himself.
I see.
You know, I think maybe I talk too much. I think maybe I better sing.
You already have, Buster. And thanks. I go into the bar, find a phone booth, and call Lieutenant Segarra.
Yes, Mitchell, what is it?
You told me you could go on leave at a moment's notice. The moment is now.
Very well, where?
The villa outside the city.
I'll be there as soon as I can.
Go outside, but the peon has stopped singing. I bend over and raise his sombrero. Then I see why. You can't very well carry a tune when your throat's been cut. Now I know I've got to move fast. I head for the villa again. It's almost dark when I get there. I roost in a clump of bushes near the wall, wondering how I'm going to get in without being electrocuted. Then I hear the sound of engines. I peek out of the bushes. Five trucks are pulling up to the front gate. They're probably bringing those crates from wherever the freighter docked. Suddenly, it hits me. This is my big chance. The driver in the lead truck gets out and goes up to the gate, and I slip up to the last truck in the line. Before the driver can move, I nail him with a left, slip on his coat and cap, and slide in behind the wheel. By now, the rest of the trucks are rolling through the gate. I step on the gas, and then I feel something cold and hard in the back of my neck. A gun barrel.
Keep driving straight ahead, Steve.
What? Lisa?
Yeah. Go on, through the gate.
Okay.
So, they both chose the same way of getting into the villa.
Yeah. But I don't get why you have to sneak in. After all, you're one of the boys, aren't you? So, now we get inside, you turn me in and get a medal, huh?
There, through the gate. Pull up to that little building off by itself. You can hide there. Come.
Okay. Look, I still don't get this, Lisa. You must be in pretty solid with these boys. Why the hide-and-seek act?
In solid.
That is very funny, Steve. If there were more time, I would laugh. Here we are. Inside.
Hey, looks like a bunker of some kind or a bomb shelter.
Yeah, it is. I recognize the design, Steve. It is identical with the bomb shelter under the chancellery in Berlin.
Mm. Now, would you mind telling me just what this is all about? You're not just Lisa Hessler, girl reporter. You were the one who claimed that Schiller was killed in Berlin.
Yeah. I identified a burned body as that of his, but I lied, Steve.
I know that. Why did you lie?
My father, a naval commander, was murdered by Captain Schiller.
on direct orders of the leader himself. I knew the burned body was not that of Schiller, that the two of them must have escaped. I thought I would have a better chance of finding and killing both of them if they'd believe the world thought them dead.
So you're the one who killed Schiller and Dakar, huh?
Now I am to have the honor of killing one more. The man I'm convinced isn't there.
Hey, what are you going to do with that grenade?
They're going outside, Steve.
Look.
I mean business. Move.
Okay. Lisa, give this thing up. Let me handle it.
Sorry.
Don't you know that you're liable to get killed trying to pull a deal like this?
Do you think that matters to me now? Here, into these bushes. There. It's far enough. This will be a convenient place for you to remain hidden. No, keep your back to me.
Remain hidden? Hey, what?
Goodbye, Steve.
Mitchell!
Oh, Lieutenant Segura, how did you get inside the wall?
As I approached it, there was an explosion in the rear. It must have shorted out the high voltage wire. I was able to climb the wall.
Explosion? Hey, the villa's on fire. So that's what Lisa did with that grenade.
Mitchell, look! Two men running out of the villa. They're heading for the bomb shelter.
Yeah, I recognize the tall one. He was a member of the German High Command.
How about the shorter one?
I can't tell from this distance. He's got that hat pulled down over his face. Come on, we gotta find out.
Wait! Look, the girl.
It's Lisa, slipping into the bomb shelter from the other side. That must have been her plan to set the villa on fire, knowing they'd head for that bomb shelter.
But the two men are inside the shelter now.
Come on, we've got to get there before anything happens.
Mitchell, that shorter man. Do you think it is really...
I don't know. Get down, Segura.
Mitchell, that explosion. It was in the bomb shelter.
Yeah, come on.
Flames are coming out of it.
I'm going in.
Be careful now. Powder smoke.
Yeah, this way.
It's clear now, Lily. Hey, you could... Mitchell.
Yeah. Three bodies, badly burned.
Look, a charred fragment of a dress.
Yeah, that one's Lisa. The tall guy is over there. That leaves just one more, the shorter man, right here.
Yes. Well, how do you think?
Not enough left to identify.
What do you think it might be?
I don't know. I guess we'll never know now.
Mitchell, maybe he wasn't here at all. Maybe he really was killed in Berlin.
Maybe.
But if he was here, how could he have escaped? Three people came in here, and now we see three bodies.
Well, there could have been a guard in here, and there could be a trap door under all that wreckage.
But it doesn't sound possible.
No? Look around you, Segura.
What do you mean?
This bomb shelter, it's an exact replica of the one in Berlin where he was supposed to have been killed before. There was an explosion and a fire there, too. In other words, this is the same identical setup as before.
But Lisa must have been sure she had her men when she blew herself up.
Yeah. She also could have been in on the gag all along and be willing to sacrifice herself to keep the big boy operating. This whole thing could have been just a setup, Segura.
See, but maybe...
Yeah, doing a lot of maybe-ing, Lieutenant. Just don't forget the biggest maybe of all.
What is that?
If he did it before, maybe he's done it again.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell, is written by Bob Reif and Adrian Jandot, with music by Robert Armbruster, and is produced and directed by Bill Karn. Be with us again next week at this time when Brian Donlevy, starring in the role of Steve Mitchell, will embark on another Dangerous Assignment. Came to you from Hollywood. Judy Holliday returns tomorrow on The Big Show, now Man Called X on NBC.
The Irene Dunn, Fred McMurray Show. Starring Irene Dunn as Susan and Fred McMurray as George. Together in the gay, new, exciting comedy adventure, Bright Star. The Irene Dunn, Fred McMurray Show, with Irene Dunn playing the role of Susan Armstrong and Fred McMurray as George Harvey, owner and star reporter, respectively, of the Hillsdale Morning Star. Well, events are beginning to happen, and as usual, they will have a definite effect on Susan and George.
Flight 671, Independent Airlines, New York to Los Angeles, calling Hillsdale Airport, over.
Tower, Hillsdale Airport, to flight 671. Go ahead, 671.
Trouble with number 4 engine, Hillsdale. Can you clear me for an emergency landing?
Give your position, 671.
25 miles northeast your field. 8,000 feet, but I'm dropping down now.
You're cleared for an emergency landing, 671. 10 mile an hour west wind. Come in on center runway. Over.
Still, it doesn't make any difference if we continue the series or let it drop. As far as I can see, Sue, we're...
Excuse me, George.
Oh, sure.
Hello?
This is the tower at the airport. I've got some hot news. A transcontinental flight is setting down out here. Emergency.
Oh, well, just a minute. Maybe you better take this. The airport thinks they have a scoop.
No. Go ahead, airport.
An Independent Airlines flight is setting down out here.
Oh, any danger of a crash?
No, just motor trouble. Oh. Thought you might be interested.
No. I'm just glad I'm on the ground.
You mean that ain't news for Hillsdale?
Sorry.
Miss America's on the plane. Thought you might get a story.
Who did you say?
Miss America.
Oh, now you're talking, brother. That is news. I'll be right out.
George, where are you going?
The airport, Susan. Over. Wanted to see me, Susan?
Yes, I wanted to see you, Mr. Harvey.
Well, that's what I like first thing in the morning. Bright, snappy dialogue. But why the Mr. Harvey? This a formal conference or something?
Take a look at this, Mr. Harvey, and tell me what it is.
Oh, well, that's easy. It's a bill for $25.
From a nightclub.
Well, prices are up all over. You know how it is.
Your bill.
Well, it was worth every penny. Had a grand time. You should have been with us, Susan.
I suppose Miss America enjoyed every minute of it.
Ah, there's a great kid. Great kid. Celeste Kaczynski, Miss America. What hair. What eyes. What a...
Dumb blonde.
She's brunette.
The Morning Star will not reimburse you for this bill.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Susan. You can't do this to me.
And why not? In the first place, my reporters have always paid their own entertainment bills, and always will. In the second place, the Morning Star will never pay for entertaining chorus girls.
Now, you haven't heard the last of this.
Oh, yes, I have. There's the door.
Thanks.
I'm delivering the afternoon mail.
Don't bother me, Sammy.
How come you never get no mail?
I use carrier pigeon.
Hey, how does it feel to be out with a pigeon like the one you had last night?
How did you know?
I saw her pictures in her write-up.
When did you read my copy?
When I was carrying it to the basement to get burned.
Oh, so she's not going to run it after all.
That was some beef you had with Miss Armstrong.
You know everything, don't you, Sammy?
Oh, well.
You know I'm going to slap you silly if you don't get out of here by the time I count three?
Yes, sir. I know it now. Afternoon mail, Miss Armstrong.
Thank you, Sammy.
That Harvey guy didn't get none at all.
Hmm? Oh, I dare say.
Maybe that's why he wanted to slap me around.
He what?
He said he was going to slap me silly.
For that big bully, picking on a little fellow like you. Remember this, Sammy. You don't have to take a thing from Mr. Harvey. Not a thing.
You mean I got the green light to get him told?
You certainly have. Why, that man's losing all sense of proportion.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Now, let's see about the mail. What? What's this? We are considering George Harvey for an assignment in our New York office. We would appreciate any confidential information that you, as his present employer, might forward us concerning him. Harold Bell, editor, Acme News Service. Well, of all things. Well. Hello.
This is Ned, Susan.
Oh, yes, Ned.
You can stop worrying about any tax boost on your home. I just came from the assessor's office. As your attorney, I convinced him that any raise at the present time would be completely unjust.
All right, thanks, Ned.
What's the matter? You don't sound happy.
Ned, I want you to draw up a contract for me.
Sure, what kind?
I want a contract covering one of my reporters whereby he cannot leave my employ for a period of 1 year. Don't leave him any possible out. Do you understand?
Okay, you're the boss. What is his name?
George Harvey.
Oh.
No, it's not what you're thinking.
I wasn't even thinking.
Well, then start thinking. I want this contract first thing in the morning.
Morning mail, Miss Susan.
Thank you, Sammy.
Want to see something funny?
Something funny?
It's a dopey cartoon I got the artist to whip up about that Harvey guy. Oh, get a load of him with that silly look on his stupid kisser.
And just what do you intend doing with this?
I'm going to go right in and slap it on his desk.
You do no such thing.
Hey, the cartoon.
This is a newspaper office, Sammy, and the sooner you learn that, the better.
But yesterday you gave me the green light.
Never mind about yesterday.
You said I could get him told.
From now on, you will give Mr. Harvey nothing but the greatest respect.
Huh?
You will be courteous and complimentary. You will do his bidding at all times. In short, you will go out of your way to be nice to him. Now, is that clear?
It ain't clear, but if you say so, I'll do it.
Good. Now, go and tell Mr. Harvey I want to see him in my office.
Morning, Mr. Harvey.
Huh? Oh, it's you.
How did you sleep last night, Mr. Harvey?
What? Why?
Just wanted to know if you had a good rest, that's all.
Are you all right, Sammy?
I'm kind of mixed up, but outside of that, I'm all right. What's your bidding?
How's that again?
I'm ready to do your bidding.
Oh. Well, no bidding at the moment, Sammy. Especially since this comes as such a surprise.
Yeah, you and me both.
Well, I guess that cleans up a neat bit of repartee.
Oh, I almost forgot. The big wheel wants to see you in her office.
Oh, she does, huh? Well, if you think you heard a big beef yesterday, don't miss this second act.
Mr. Harvey, can you go?
Yeah, I think so, Sammy. Why?
When you come out of her office, it might be a good thing to know.
Now, let's get one thing straight, Susan. I don't intend to stand
Here's
for...
Here's your check, George.
Huh?
Your check. Your check for $25. Oh. The one we were so silly over yesterday.
Well, this is more like it. Thanks a lot.
Oh, it's nothing, really.
Well, to you, maybe, but to me, $25 is a real tidy sum.
It's silly how we quarrel over petty things, isn't it, George?
Well, it certainly is, especially when I was right all the time.
Of course you were right. That's what I mean.
I guess that about covers it. I must say this was real big of you.
Oh, it wasn't at all. It was only just. It's what you can always expect here at the Morning Star.
Susan, I can't let you take all the blame. I did a foolish thing to begin
nonsense.
With.
No,
I mean it. It was all my fault. I rushed into something I shouldn't
have. Well, now, let's not say any more about it, shall we? From now on, this is the way it will always be.
Susan, I like you like this.
Well, maybe you should see more of me like this.
Yes, maybe I should.
How about tonight?
Huh?
A dinner at my house. Spaghetti.
Spaghetti, huh?
Uh-huh. Shall we say 7:30?
Yes, let's say it.
7:30. The grated cheese for the spaghetti.
It's there.
The soy sauce for the rice patients.
That too.
And the ice cream for the cake a la mode.
Yes.
Oh, and did you put the chestnuts in the turkey stuffing?
Check.
The mayonnaise for the salad.
Oh, yes.
Well, I guess that's about everything.
It certainly is. Figure he'll go for the bait tonight?
Just what do you mean by that?
Pop the question. Ain't that what you're after?
Certainly not. You think every time I have a small dinner party, I expect to be proposed to? Well, do you? I
can't take your money for those easy questions. Shoot me a hard one.
Patience. As I told you, tonight's something extra special.
I suspected that.
So would it be too much trouble to go out of your way a little and be sweet to Mr. Harvey?
Just how sweet?
Well, you know what I mean, like telling him nice things about himself.
Never was good at making things up. You better coach me.
Well, he does have his nice points, you know.
I'm listening.
Oh, there he is. Patience. Sometimes those chimes play the most beautiful music in the world.
Uh-huh. But right now, they're playing Stormy Weather.
You know, Susan, maybe I should pinch myself.
Why?
No, just to be sure I'm not dreaming. A dinner that was out of this world, your piano music, the two of us, and no arguments. Heaven couldn't have anything on this.
Heaven is sometimes nearer than we think, George.
Everybody's been so wonderful, down at the paper, here. You know, maybe I'm just beginning to get what I deserve.
Well, of course you are, George. And I've got something else here that you deserve.
No kidding. What is it?
Well, never mind what it is. Just sign on the dotted line.
Yeah. Well, there's this order, the party, the first part, and the party, the second part, and the next... Hey, this is a contract.
Well, of course.
Well, but it's for one whole year.
Yes, and a raise in salary. You noticed that.
Well, I certainly did, but why? Little reporters like me don't rate these things.
But from now on, you're a big reporter.
Oh.
There are big things ahead for the Morning Star, and you should be a part of those things.
Big things, eh?
Well, yes, indeed. So just sign it, George.
Well, maybe we should add one clause before I sign.
What clause?
Well, just an expense account for me in pursuit of my duties.
Well, of course, sure, sure. Just write it in.
Yes, sir. Fire. Oh. Now my signature. There you are.
Thank you, George, so much.
Well, thank you. And now that I've signed, it's only fair to tell you that you went to a lot of trouble for nothing. I had no intention of leaving, ever.
Oh, well, you can never tell about those things, and now this makes it official.
And now, Susan, how about that game of the canasta?
Canasta?
Hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry, George, but I do have a headache. Perhaps I'd better rest and some other night, huh?
Oh, but you look all right.
Yes, I know, I always do. It's embarrassing.
You don't seem to be suffering any.
No, but I am, really.
Susan, did I do something wrong?
Well, of course not. Now, you just run along like a good boy.
Uh-huh. Okay, if that's the way you want it.
Well, now, what in the world's that for?
Well, Sammy told me this might come in handy, and brother, he was right.
Now back to our two stars, Irene Dunn and Fred McMurray, and the second act of our story. A day has passed, as days are wont to do even in Hillsdale. And Susan Armstrong, who is really Irene Dunn, looks up from her desk at the Morning Star as George Harvey, who is really Fred McMurray, storms into her office and rains all over the place.
Of all the low-down, sneaking, conniving, underhanded, miserable, contemptible tricks...
Everything I did was perfectly legal.
Then you know what I'm talking about.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about, and I thank you to watch your tone.
I'm talking about this letter I got this morning from the Acme News Service offering me a job in New York.
Well?
They said they wrote to you asking for information about me.
That's true.
What did you tell them?
Nothing. I'm not obligated to do their bidding.
Maybe you're not, but you wrote me in with that phony contract the other night when you knew they wanted me. Susan, how could you do such a thing to me?
You might take a little personal gratification from the fact that the paper needed you enough to offer you a contract.
The Morning Star needed me. Why, a moron could write for this sheet.
Perhaps you're right. I'd suggest that the moron retire to his office and start writing.
Susan, I'm warning you. You can't get away with this.
Ha!
I'll break this contract if it's the last thing I ever do.
I'm busy, Mr. Harvey.
You sure are. Busy like the little bee in the fable. Well, we'll see who gets stung in the end.
Please remember, you're speaking to a lady.
You want to bet?
Here's your copy proof.
Oh, thanks, Sammy. It might interest you to know that I slept quite well last night.
Who cares, bird brain? The honeymoon's over.
Well, I'll be...
I called you in here, Mr. Harvey, to give you a little bit of news.
Well, I was interested in a bit of news. What's up?
Yesterday, we had a fire in Hillsdale that destroyed 3 buildings and endangered 4 more.
Yeah, I know. I was there.
Oh, were you really? Well, one would scarcely think so from the paragraph and a half you turned in.
Well, what did you expect? The great American novel? I covered the bank robbery and wrote it up to the hilt.
2 paragraphs.
And that was padding it.
The first bank robbery in Hillsdale in 45 years.
Probably took the bank that long to get $5,000 together.
You don't like this town, do you?
Well, frankly, no.
Well, that's too bad. You'll be stuck in Hillsdale for another year, and I'd hate to see you unhappy. So long.
So long, Susan.
I didn't dismiss you.
Well, that's all right. I'm a self-starter. So long. Morning Star, Harvey speaking.
Is this George?
Yeah.
This is Celeste.
Who?
Celeste Kaczynski.
Well, Kaczynski. I mean, who?
Well, don't you remember me, George? Miss America.
Oh, Celeste.
Well, that's what I've been saying.
Well, where are you, in Hollywood?
I'm in Hillsdale, George.
Hillsdale? But I thought that you were out...
In the bus station, George, and I'm frightened.
The bus station? Well, what are you frightened of? Those buses won't hurt you, Celeste.
Well, you're the only one in town that I know. Won't you come and get me?
Well, yeah, sure.
How long will it take?
Well, not long. I'll be right down. Now, don't go away.
Oh, I won't, George. There's no place for me to go.
That's all right, Celeste. Go right ahead. Eat all you want.
I'm almost ashamed of myself, but I couldn't eat on the bus all the way from California.
Is that so?
If I got out with the crowd to get something to eat, I was afraid I'd lose my seat.
Oh, but why did you come back on the bus?
Silly, the planes don't stop in Hillsdale, only when they're forced down. Like the other time when we met. Remember that, George?
Oh, yes, but why did you come back here at all? I thought you'd be a Hollywood star by this time.
So did I, George.
But what about your screen test?
Well, they met me at the plane, and I had a big automobile ride, and they were real nice at the studio.
The screen test?
I had lunch at the most famous restaurant in Hollywood, and everybody was wondering who I was.
Yeah, well, that figures.
That night, they took me to the most wonderful nightclub, and they had the swellest floor show. I laughed and laughed, but I watched my manners because I wanted to make a good impression.
Uh-huh. But the screen test.
Well, it didn't take long. I'll tell you that.
What didn't?
The screen test.
Oh, then you had it.
Oh, sure. Then they gave me plane fare back to New York and said I'd hear from them in time.
And you didn't take the plane because...
It doesn't stop in Hillsdale.
No, I know.
Well, maybe you could help me get a job here in Hillsdale. After all, with the write-up you gave me in your paper, that shouldn't be hard.
Yeah, well, you see...
Well, is something the matter, George?
No. Everything's great. It's just that, well, I'm wondering about tonight. Have you made any plans?
Oh, of course not, silly. I've kept tonight open just for you.
Oh.
I had to rush back to the plane the last time, but tonight we can pick up the sidewalks and throw them at the city hall.
That's right, we can. I've got an expense account. We'll not only pick up the sidewalks, but we'll roll up the streets, too. Good afternoon. Did you wish to see me?
That's the last thing I'd wish.
Care to look around my office?
So you did it again.
Well, I do quite a few things. To what specifically do you refer?
This nightclub bill for $55.35.
Oh, that. Had a grand time, grand. Celeste is back, you know. Miss America. Remember?
Remember what I told you before.
Remember the contract? Expense account and everything? It's all legal.
And this 3-column spread? What exactly is the meaning of this?
Oh, that. The greatest human interest story that she'd ever ran. Beautiful girl spurned by Hollywood, flies across country for a screen test. Great test, but no contract.
So, she flopped out in Hollywood.
Well, I wouldn't say that. She didn't have a chance, really.
And now she's come back to her prize sucker.
Meaning?
I suppose you'll get married and become Mr. America.
Well, we hadn't planned that far ahead, but it's an idea. I'm not bad in trunks, you know.
Well, speaking of trunks, you can pack yours right now.
Oh, sounds like a distant assignment. India?
See this contract.
Ours?
Watch closely.
Well, and that means...
You're fired. Through. Washed up. Now get out and go to your Miss America. Go to New York. Go anywhere. But get out of here and don't you dare come back.
You know something? That's the best advice you ever gave me. As a matter of fact, I planned the afternoon and evening with Celeste.
Well, what are you waiting for?
No. You go first. I'm not taking any chances.
Huh.
get me Harold... get me Harold Bell, please. Acme News Service, New York. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll hang on.
Harold?
Oh, Mr. Bell?
Yeah.
This is George Harvey of the Hillsdale Morning Star.
Who?
George Harvey. You wrote me a couple of days ago about a job in your staff. Well, I'm ready to leave now.
Sorry, that was a rush assignment. You didn't answer. The job's filled.
Oh, but Mr. Bell...
Yeah?
Well, nothing. Nothing. Thanks very much.
Yes?
Is this the editor?
Yes.
A woman?
Well, as far as I know, is that so strange?
Well...
Who is this?
Celeste Kaczynski.
Oh. What did you want?
Well, I've been trying to get in touch with George Harvey.
Yes?
I had a date with him 3 hours ago, and he hasn't showed up. Do you know where he is?
Well, no, I don't. Was this a business appointment?
Strictly business. He was going to give me a big spread in your paper, and I was going to take that back to New York for publicity.
And he didn't show up.
I'm sick and tired of waiting. There's a bus to New York in 20 minutes, and you can tell him from me that if he isn't here by then, I'm going to be on it.
Well, if I see him, I'll tell him.
Well, thanks.
Have a pleasant trip, Celeste.
Well, thanks.
Yes, Miss Armstrong?
Is Mr. Harvey in his office?
No, Miss Armstrong. He left the building some time ago.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Armstrong.
Oh, bag of peanuts, I guess. Squirrel. Have a peanut? Oh, go ahead, I got a whole bag full. Shake hands with a real squirrel, buddy. You eat nuts. I am nuts. Had a swell job with a grand girl. What do I do? Louse it up, but good. Now I've got nothing. Oh, sure, you're smart. You store away food for the winter. Well, what did I store away? Nuts. I can't go back and ask for my job. I can't go to New York. I can't go anyplace. Say, how big is this hole you live in? Maybe we could work out a deal, huh? I could cook and keep the nest clean, and you could go out and bring in the food. We could at least try it for a while, and if it didn't work, why...
Hello, George.
Oh. Susan.
Someone I know?
Oh, a third cousin of mine, once removed. Sit down, won't you?
Thanks. I thought you might be here.
Oh, I came early to get a lease on this bench for the winter.
Well, there goes the bus to New York.
Yeah.
Funny, but I thought I saw someone waving from the bus.
Oh, well, people always wave from buses.
Know anybody going to New York?
Oh.
There was a time when you were thinking about New York.
Oh, who cares about New York?
Ever think of working for the Morning Star?
Yeah, yes. Great little paper.
Ever try?
No soap. Tough editor.
Oh, she's not so tough.
Oh? You know her?
I do now.
Well, maybe you could put in a good word, huh?
Maybe I did.
What did the editor say?
Tell him to report tomorrow.
Susan.
Yes, George.
Oh, you. Never mind about the deal we had. You can come and bunk with me at the Morning Star.
You mean a squirrel on the paper?
Oh, you'll get used to it. You always have.
Our stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, will be back in just a moment.
Yes, Yes, George?
Just a little matter, Susan, that concerns us both.
Yes?
I have a contract here that I drew up myself, the terms of which bind us together for 99 years.
Well, is that legal?
Sure, it's legal. It's just like a lease. I don't want to make the same mistake again. I'm here and I want to stay.
Oh, well, I want you to stay.
Okay, sign right here.
Look, your squirrel on the windowsill.
How do you like that? He's ready to move in.
I wonder why.
I'll tell you why. He thinks we're both nuts.
Oh. Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray will be back next week in another exciting comedy adventure in the gay new series, Bright Star. This is Harry Von Zell inviting you to join us then.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.